Hello, Through the Word, and welcome back to Exodus 12. This is part two in this chapter. Jonathan Ferguson is with us again.
All right, Chris, so why does chapter 12 get a part two and all the others only one guide?
Well, this is a big one. If the chapters of the Bible were weighted by importance, I think these pages would sink into the book just a little more. Here in chapter 12, the Lord gives detailed instructions on keeping the Passover, and there is meaning in every instruction. So yesterday, we took in the story, just as it is, but today, we want to walk back through it and find the meaning. The Lord was detailed and precise about his instructions, and he tells the Israelites to tell and retell the story, to commemorate it every year. This is important.
That's right. Every year, they will remember that when death came, they were passed over, not because they deserved it, but by the blood of a lamb. And again, that picture, that story spans the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, from the lamb who took Isaac's place in sacrifice to save his life, to Jesus proclaimed as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to the tribulation martyrs in the book of Revelation who overcame by the blood of the Lamb. This is the story.
This is Jesus' story. That's why the details matter. Jesus died on Passover. That was no coincidence. So let's walk through it again with Jesus in mind.
Each year, the Israelites were to celebrate a feast to remember that they were spared from death and rescued from slavery by the blood of the Lamb. Above all, the Passover Lamb points to Jesus. Jesus died on the very day of Passover, and by his blood and by faith in him, we are saved from death and set free from sin.
That one simple truth is the heart of the Bible. Don't miss it. But the details speak as well, and powerfully. In Jesus' time, the 10th day when the Lamb was selected and presented happened on Palm Sunday, the very day that Jesus was presented to the world.
The 4 days of examining the Lamb were necessary to ensure that the Lamb was spotless. In the same way, Jesus was examined and challenged with a barrage of questions and challenges from the priests, ending in a trial wherein only one accusation stood, that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Pilate himself declared, "I find no fault in him." In other words, spotless.
That's essential. Jesus had to be sinless, just as the Lamb was spotless. Picture a courtroom setting with two men on trial for murder. Both found guilty, both sentenced to death. The first murderer steps up to the judge. "Your Honor, I offer my life in place of this man. I will take his place in death." The offer may sound magnanimous, but it's empty. He can't offer his life. He has his own penalty to pay for his own conviction. But if an innocent man stepped up and offered his life, that's a different story. And that is Jesus' story. The sinless man, no penalty of his own to pay for, offers his life in place of ours, all of us. The spotless first year or firstborn lamb pictured Jesus, the only begotten Son of God.
Verse 46 tells us that none of the lamb's bones were to be broken, just as none of Jesus' bones were broken on the cross. The people consumed the lamb just as, spiritually speaking, we consume the body of Christ in communion. He is part of us. And in verse 10, they were to leave nothing till morning. Jesus paid the full price for our sins. It is finished. Nothing left to pay for. When we follow Jesus, when we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we get all of him. Not partial life, but eternal life.
And watch this. The blood of the Lamb was placed with hyssop on the door frames. This is the key. God says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Death moves on. For us, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, upon us, is the sign for God. Our sins are forgiven. Our price is paid in full. For Israel, it was on the door frame, top, left, and right, like Jesus' crown of thorns, with nails on his left and right hands. And notice it was placed with hyssop. Hyssop is a rather humble bush with purple flowers, and it was a hyssop branch used to offer Jesus a sponge of wine vinegar on the cross. In the Bible, hyssop is regularly associated with cleansing and purity, and it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins.
So that's the Passover celebration, held on the same day every year. It is commemorated to this day. Interestingly, as we follow the Israelites forward, we'll find that in the times that they strayed from God, they often forgot about the annual feast. When they returned to God, they commemorated it again, and it brought them closer to God.
Now, the Jews would not have been aware of all the connections to Jesus before his time, and many Jews celebrate it today and miss Jesus in all of it. But I do wonder about the disciples as they celebrated the Passover with Jesus, his last meal. We call it the Last Supper, but the disciples would have called it Passover, and they would get to hear Jesus tell the story of Passover and teach them its meaning.
How cool would that be, to hear Jesus teach the Passover? And you have to wonder what was going through Jesus' mind as he walked through the story of the lamb slain and Israel saved.
We can wonder about the disciples and Jesus, but for now, let's jump back into the Israelite story in Moses' time. Once death had passed by for the Israelites, and the Egyptians discovered that death has come to every household, in verse 31, during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go, and also bless me." And they get moving in a hurry. The morning dough for bread goes in a sack for the road. No time for yeast. Remember that. It will be essential to the annual festival. And as per Moses' instructions, they ask the Egyptians for silver and gold and clothing, and the Egyptians gladly hand it over.
So the Israelites head out, never to return. In verse 38, the multitude of Israelites is joined by a mix of other peoples who want to follow along. The first stop is Succoth, which simply means place of tents, and they set up camp and set up fires to bake the bread they packed in the morning. Still, no yeast.
The names of the places where the Israelites stop tell an interesting story. We'll see more as we move forward. But Succoth, or Tent Town, is a great reminder that we are just passing through in this life. Once we're saved by Jesus' blood, we realize that the body we live in now is just a tent, temporary housing. Our destination is not here. And for the Israelites, this is it. This is the big moment. Verse 40 tells us, "Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Generations of slavery, but the Lord saw, the Lord heard, and the Lord cared. And at long last, they are set free."
All the Lord's divisions left Egypt. And in verse 42, the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out. And so, every year, the Jews were to keep an all-night vigil to honor the Lord and remember that He watched over them in their hour of need.
I love all the reminders to create traditions that honor God's faithfulness and remember that He got us through. The Lord keeps vigil over us. The chapter ends with some directions and regulations for those future celebrations and who they are for. We'll see more of that tomorrow. But for today, read Exodus 12. Enter the story and join with God's people as they sacrifice the lamb and apply the blood, as death passes over, and in the morning, free at last, thank God Almighty, they are free.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.